Welcome to Entrepreneur Clinic with me, Monique Chambers, and every week I'll be interviewing a special guest talking about how to set up a business or how to launch a new product in the local market. You're listening to Entrepreneur Clinic on Campus FM with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week, Dr. Leonie Baldacchino from the Edward de Bono Institute here at the University of Malta. We're discussing how to create a buzz around your offering. So, buzz, how does one create it around a new offering as a startup?
Hi, Monique. Well, creating a buzz is always very, very important in startups and established businesses alike, because you could have the best product in best service in the world, but if nobody knows about you, then of course nobody will buy your product and service, so you will have no customers. Speaking about customers, it is very important to identify your customers, your target customers, and understand who they are and what they will be looking for, because that will definitely influence where you will be trying to create a buzz, because of course there are different platforms which we will go into later on. But why is it so important to create a buzz? There are different stages, different phases in promotion. First of all, one needs to create awareness about the product. As I said, if nobody knows you're around, then nobody will buy you. But even beyond creating an awareness, you need to also enable customers to make an evaluation, ideally a positive evaluation about your product and service.
This is before they've bought it, indeed?
Before they've bought it, that they can only buy it if they have made a positive evaluation, whether that's explicit or implicit, whether they're aware of their evaluation or not. However, the evaluation has to be made. Of course, there you need to provide some degree of information about the product. And after they have bought the product, they need to have some sort of after-sales reassurance or after sales relationship building with the entrepreneur in order to create a loyal customer base of people who will come back to buy your product if your product lends itself to repeat purchases. But even if not, you still want to create a positive word of mouth, because it's been supported by various studies with entrepreneurs that word of mouth, especially in a small place like Malta, but not limited to small places like Malta, you know, it's the best way of promoting one's business and one's product. There is no better way than having somebody you know telling you how great a particular product or a place or a business is than, you know, getting it right from somebody you know and trust, as opposed to hearing a paid advert on one of the traditional media. So I think in reply to your first question about how do you create a buzz, the first thing you really need to do is to get people to talk about you.
Okay.
Now, so, how do you do that?
Yes, exactly. Positively, obviously.
Yes, positively. I think the key to that is creativity. And this is a term that's become a buzzword. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about how important it is to have creative products, creative services, to be a creative individual indeed. But what does it really mean? The term creativity refers to the generation of ideas that are new and useful. So it is definitely about being different from and original, so different from what everything else that's around, and also original in the sense that it creates some sort of surprise. However, it also needs to have an element of relevance, something that is useful to the user, something that is going to stand out. Mm-hmm. So a buzz marketing campaign doesn't really need to be expensive, which is a very important learning point for the entrepreneurs out there, because many startups are concerned with the fact that they don't really have any resources, financial or otherwise, to create any sort of promotion campaign, as opposed to multinational corporations or, you know, really large organizations who, as we know, invest millions of euros, dollars, whatever they are, in promoting their products. However, with an element of creativity, and you know, if they are really smart about how to do things, they can really create a buzz marketing campaign without spending very much money at all.
So how can a small company or an entrepreneur, startup, create this buzz? How do they go about doing it?
So as I said, the key is creativity. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to a misconception that many people believe that some people are born creative while others are not, creativity is a skill that can be learned.
Okay.
And that can be improved with the use of tools and lots of practice. As I said earlier, we are from the Edward de Bono Institute, and Edward de Bono has come up with a number of tools and techniques that enable people to be more creative. These include lateral thinking and a number of others. And therefore, practicing with these tools can help people come up with many different creative ideas and come up with ideas on how to really be different and stand out.
Okay. So this is something that you actually, you teach there at the Institute as well, you're teaching?
Yes, indeed. The Institute was set up in 1992 in collaboration with Edward de Bono, with the aim of teaching his tools and techniques. However, over the past several years, we have really grown and diversified our activities, and we are now based on what we call our four pillars. The first remains creativity, because as I said, we strongly believe that this is something that can be taught and nurtured. Our second pillar is innovation or innovation management, because we believe that although creative ideas in themselves are very important because they are the root of all innovation and of all entrepreneurship, however, there has to be a system in place where these ideas are evaluated, developed, channeled, and actually eventually put into place, implemented for any sort of value to come out of them. Our third pillar is entrepreneurship, which, as we are discussing today, involves the starting up and running of one's own business, but it involves also developing an entrepreneurial mindset, which is very important for mm-hmm. people for coming from different walks of life. And our fourth pillar is foresight, which involves taking a look into the future, trying to imagine what the world will look like in 10, 15, 50 years' time, envisaging positive scenarios and envisaging negative scenarios, and then trying to create strategies in the present in order to achieve the desirable scenarios and offset the undesirable ones. And on these four pillars, we offer a number of courses, including a Master in Creativity and Innovation, which also touches upon entrepreneurship and foresight. We offer a number of undergraduate study units, which are also open to the general public. And we are currently planning to launch a new part-time evening diploma in creativity, innovation and entrepreneurship to help those people who have other commitments, therefore can't take on a full-time course at the university, or perhaps don't have an undergraduate degree, therefore would not be eligible to start a master's. But this would be one good way of learning creative thinking skills and to help entrepreneurs not only create a buzz around their ideas and their businesses, but also how to improve their entrepreneurial skills in different areas as well.
So you said something about entrepreneurial mindset.
Indeed.
What do you mean by that? What would an entrepreneur's mindset be like?
Okay, so a mindset is essentially a way of thinking and behaving in a way that is a little bit different from the traditional or from the everyday way of trying to stick to the routines or trying to maintain the status quo. So an entrepreneur is a very different sort of individual. An entrepreneur is a person who is always looking out for new opportunities, actually seeing opportunities where other people only see problems, and coming up with ideas, with solutions to these problems and offering them in the form of a product or service on the market. And of course, if it is a widespread problem, if many people are complaining about these problems, then there is a real pain out there. Therefore, there is a higher likelihood that the market would be receptive to such a solution, a product or a service.
So can you give us any examples of good, cheap buzz marketing campaigns?
Well, yes, I actually have a very interesting example in mind, and this actually came from a group of students I had a few years ago. As part of the masters, our students are asked to come up with a business idea mm-hmm. and to work on it. At the time, it was a project that they needed to work on for a week. So they'd come up with a business idea, develop their business idea, and at the end of the week, pitch the idea together with a brief business plan to their lecturers who were kind of sitting in the seat of investors. And at the time, we didn't have, you know, we now have our Takeoff Business Incubator here on campus, which is a really, really great venue. And we now do this sort of thing here at the incubator. But back then, venues are always a problem at the university. And we did wish to have uninterrupted lectures for the whole week, which was quite impossible to get here on campus. So we were asked to go to the junior college. And our initial reaction was, of course, well, you know, getting out of the university campus to go to the junior college will be quite inconvenient, but we said we'll go with it and we'll see how it goes. And we were assigned a couple of classrooms in what was then a new annex. So it was as part of the junior college campus, but slightly to the side. And we went in and we gave the students their assignment on the first day. They looked a little bit bewildered, as students would do on the first day.
It does sound quite overwhelming.
And we went home. On the second day, as soon as we arrived in the morning, we found a little note attached to the wall, addressed to, without a name, but addressed to one of the students, one of the guys in our course. Very, very flowery language. And they were all, you know, all the students were wondering, you know, who is this? Because it was asking the student, whoever it is, to please call me. My name is Alice. I can't stop thinking about you. This is my number, and so on. And as you can imagine, everybody was extremely curious as to, A, who the object of Alice's attention was and who is Alice. Probably, you know, one of the sixth form students who had fallen in love with one of our handsome.
I was thinking of the Smokey song, actually.
Yes, so was I. Alice, Alice. So on the third day, we came back and there were several notes actually attached to the wall this time. I'm getting a little bit more the tone, you know, the pitch had been increasing a little bit. Still insisting that whoever this handsome young male student was should be calling Alice. By the fourth day, everybody was talking about Alice. And one of our lunch breaks, we found a little box of chocolates with a note. Again, please call me. I can't stop thinking about you. I can't live my life without you, and so on and so forth. Everybody was thinking about, you know, pointing fingers and accusing different people who Alice might be. I can assure you that within 4 days, everybody was talking about Alice. Everybody was talking to their families about it, their friends, on Facebook, anywhere you can think of. On the fifth day, when the students were there to present the business idea, it turned out that one of the groups had wanted to set up a company, a buzz marketing company, and this was their way of telling us, you know, hey, this is what we can do. And in 5 days, we can get everybody talking about our company without a budget. They spent, like, what, a maximum of 3-4 euros on a couple of printouts and some sweets. And they have it. So, as I said earlier, the key is, A, to get people to talk about you, which they did very successfully, and B, to use, you know, a very simple but creative idea on how to do that.
So teaching that kind of creativity, I know you've sort of gone through the four pillars, but can you give us an example of an exercise that one might have to go through to be on the course, not to be on the course, but one of the elements of the course? How do you teach creativity?
There are, as I said earlier, there are various tools. One very popular and very simple tool to help people create, come up with new ideas is the Random Word by Edward de Bono. This works on the principle that our brains are self-patterning systems in the sense that we are predisposed to always think in terms of patterns.
Okay.
Right? So this is actually adaptive in our everyday life, because if, for example, every time we wake up in the morning, we have to come up with, we have to go through all the different combinations of trousers and shirts and socks and everything else, we would never, ever get to work. Therefore, having these, you know, being able to take these shortcuts enables us to live our life in a functional manner. But those very patterns, those very, very routines are blocks to our creativity. So having a random input, having a random stimulus, which in many cases is simply you'd have a list of words, a list of nouns, and you would pick one at random and use that to trigger an idea in response to a particular situation. And that would help individuals break out of their patterns and come up with creative ideas in response. Another very simple tool is called Scamper. And this takes a rather different approach. This takes an existing product or an existing service, or indeed an existing campaign, if the aim is to come up with new ideas for a new campaign. Incidentally, the Random Word is very, very effective to come up with marketing campaigns as well. But the Scamper, you can look at an existing concept and use the acronym Scamper, which refers to substitute, combine, adapt, modify, put to another use, eliminate, or reverse. And using those seven categories of change, you always look at components or elements of that particular concept, product, or service, or campaign, and be able to tweak it in a way that is then going to be a more creative, more innovative, and enabling that product or campaign to stand out. Because essentially that is what you are aiming to do. You are trying to get your product and service to stand out. And in a world where we are bombarded with a huge amount of information, messages are, you know, all the time, most of us tend to tune out.
Yes.
We stop listening, don't we? And we only tune back in, we only start to listen again when something has attracted our attention, because it surprises us, perhaps because it shocks us. Right? So it's very important to be able to identify how to do that.
It's quite fascinating that you can teach. I'm still overwhelmed with the thought that you can actually teach creativity, because you do look at people and think, how do they think of that? Even because especially the most successful ideas are always the most simple.
Indeed.
And you do kick yourself when you see somebody else doing something that
you
see is absolutely...
And of course, when something does stand out, it then lends itself to things like viral marketing, for example, even if it wasn't necessarily, you know, originally designed to be to go viral in the online sense of the word, it will still lend itself to this contagious effect. So viral marketing, the term comes from, you know, the notion of a virus, like having the flu. Mm-hmm. Like if somebody goes into a room and sneezes, the likelihood is that most people will
walk away with the cold.
Will walk away with the cold, exactly. And in viral marketing, the aim is to create a message, to create some sort of a message that stands out to the extent that it attracts people's attention, triggers some sort of emotion in them. So the emotional aspect is also very important. And it literally forces them, makes them want to share this with other people. And nowadays with the internet, with social media, this is so easy, because all you need to do is, I know it's not that straightforward.
Come up with a killer idea.
Yes, it's come up with a killer idea, the killer message, but then everybody else will do the work for you.
Because they start to spread, you want your, you know, your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother.
You know, in the past, companies had to go through very expensive channels, television, and so on. Whereas nowadays, although there are possibilities also, and there is potential also in the traditional media, but it might not be as affordable to startups and small companies as they might hope. Therefore, the online channels are very important and should not be overlooked. I know this might sound a little bit obvious, but there are still many companies who overlook online media. Oprah, for example, who create a Facebook page, but then don't keep it up to date.
Or respond to messages. That drives me insane.
That's even worse. So it's better than not to have an online presence, because if you do have an online presence, it's very important to make sure that you are online and there and, you know, and on top of things all the time.
Is there a checklist that people can work towards for creating a buzz, or is it part of it is this getting to be an entrepreneur in the first place? Or?
Well, yes, of course, being an entrepreneur in the first place and having a good product or service in the first place, because if it's not so good, then the buzz that will be created will be negative. And as important, as I said, word of mouth is, and all this viral marketing and buzz marketing, you know, if the product or service or the customer service is not good, then the repercussions are going to be, of course, very negative on the entrepreneurs. Another idea that entrepreneurs could possibly consider is to involve their customers in their business, also in creating content that they can use there for the marketing, for their buzz marketing campaigns. This is called crowdsourcing. And the number of companies, this is becoming much more popular. A number of companies are using this to their advantage. So there what you would do is you would issue a call or some sort of a competition for customers or members of the public to send you photographs or video clips or even simple ideas that can be used by your company. And, of course, those, especially the ones that are selected, will feel as though they are part of the business, right? It will create that positive emotion. So if the company, I mean, there was a recent very successful company here locally where members of the public were invited to send in their photographs, and their photographs were then used on billboards, on magazines, and so on.
Okay.
Of course, that saves you the trouble of having to create your own content, though you might need to edit and so on, but, and it also creates, you know, this very positive community feeling amongst your users or customers.
And not only the customer who's had their photograph made into a billboard, but then all of their friends know, et cetera, et cetera. So it, there comes your viral effect again.
Exactly.
I've actually just realised I'm a victim of the Marmite Facebook page. I'm always going on and posting recipes and things. So, but yes, you sometimes actually don't realise you're victim to it, essentially. But yeah, crowdsourcing, you said.
That's crowdsourcing.
Excellent. Okay, and Instagram?
Well, yes, of course, Instagram, especially with the younger generations nowadays. I think it really is. It has really exploded, and I find that every year more and more students, when I give them these sort of assignments, come up with a good marketing campaign for your innovative entrepreneurial idea. More and more students are coming up with Instagram ideas on, getting people to take selfies. Mm-hmm. I have my own views about selfies, but I won't go into that at the moment. But, for the younger generation especially, they like taking selfies or taking pictures of their food or taking pictures of interesting places they've visited or doing fun stuff with your product or service. And, there you have it, Instagram.
There's your content, again, more content created for you. And is that where, I see a lot of magazines online and their readers try to get in with them. There's no real reward, like you said, apart from just being part of the gang. There's no real reward, but
it's just fun, isn't it? Hmm. And this reminds me of an initiative called the fun theory.
Okay.
And this simply states that you can change people's behavior simply by making it more enjoyable. And this started off as a safety campaign, so trying to get people to engage in behaviors that are more secure, more safe, by making it more fun. So, for example, this was initiated by Volkswagen, the car makers. For example, getting people to abide by speed limits. So, usually, if you speed past the speed camera, you'd get a ticket, mm-hmm. right? But if you don't, you go unnoticed.
Yes.
So, part of this, an idea related to the fun theory was that, right, if you speed, you of course get your ticket. But if you don't, your photograph is still taken, and you are entered into a lottery. And if you win, you get some of the speeding tickets fines as a reward.
That's fantastic.
I know. And there were other initiatives like how to get people to use the stairs instead of the elevator. So they had.
Tell me that one.
They had the piano stairs. It was in a subway. They put piano notes mm-hmm. on the stairs, and they found that because it was so much fun, stepping on the steps and
making a tune,
many more people started using the stairs as opposed to the escalator. So for all you entrepreneurs out there, how can you use the fun theory to engage your customers, engage people, even if they're not yet your customers, to attract them to your product or your service or your business, and making it fun, and then, going on and after you've engaged them on retaining them.
Okay, that sounds like really, really good fun. I'm actually going to look out for more of these things. So, with fun and everything else considered, when should you actually start to market your product or your service? When should you start this campaign?
As soon as possible, as soon as you have the idea.
Really?
Yep. It is very important to get your idea out there as soon as possible, because all the feedback that you can get is going to be very, very helpful for you to continue to develop and improve your idea. So the initial idea that you come up with might sound like a fantastic idea to you as an entrepreneur, right? In fact, when you speak to many entrepreneurs, they speak about their ideas, their businesses, as though they're speaking about their babies, their kids, They get very, very emotionally involved. However, very often there is a divide between their perception of what the market wants and what the market actually wants. Therefore, a very important exercise to carry out is to do a feasibility study. Mm-hmm. A very useful tool that I find and that I do with my students is called a business model canvas, and it helps you consider the different elements, the different factors that should be considered before a person actually launches a business. And part of this looks at actually testing and developing the concept. So you start off by looking at the value proposition. What are you offering that is different from and better than what is already available on the market, right? And then taking that concept and actually speaking to people, speaking to potential customers, receiving their feedback and adapting and modifying the concept in response to what they need. And that is essentially, your first stage in marketing.
Yes, your sort of research and development, essentially.
Exactly. However, I believe it is extremely important always to be authentic and always to be transparent and honest. Therefore, don't lie about what you are currently offering. If you don't have a product yet, it's good to create a buzz. You know, some companies go so far as to create a waiting list. You know, so I mean to create that illusion, perhaps, of exclusivity or, you know, urgency around the product. However, it's very important, I believe, this is my personal opinion, that an entrepreneur should always be honest, should always be authentic, because people need to trust you. People need to trust you because that is the only way they will then trust your business and your product and service. And that in turn is the only way you can create a loyal customer base of people who are going to create this positive buzz and this positive word of mouth. Okay. Therefore, although it might be tempting to
embellish.
Yes. Try to be as authentic as possible.
So could you just tell us again how budding entrepreneurs can benefit from your courses? How can they apply? Is it an annual course? Is it?
Yes, applications are open in October each year.
Okay.
The Masters in Creativity and Innovation is open both on a full-time and a part-time basis. The full-time option is spread over 3 semesters, excluding the summer semester, so it takes in total a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
whereas the part-time option is still a daytime course, so the lectures are still held at the same time, but it's spread over 3 years.
Right.
Now, having said that, the first two-thirds of the course is a taught component, so they will need to attend lectures, whereas the third part of the course would be a dissertation.
Okay.
The diploma, on the other hand, will be a part-time evening course, and applications will also be open in October, and if they are interested in further information, they are more than welcome to like us on Facebook, since we're talking about Facebook and online campaigns.
And they'll be able to keep updated that way.
Yes, indeed. And we also have our website. We are part of the university website. We are at um.edu.mt/create.
Excellent. So thanks to this week's guest, that's Dr. Leonie Baldacchino from the Edward de Bono Institute here at the University of Malta. We've been discussing how to create a buzz around your offering. Next week, I'll be talking to Stephen Dulligan about apps, what you need to do to create one. You've been listening to Entrepreneur Clinic with me, Monique Chambers. The programme is aired every Wednesday on Campus FM at 9:30 a.m. and repeated on Thursdays at 1:30 p.m. Join us again next week to hear more about your journey in starting up a new business or launching a new product.